didn't you call me? I've been sitting here by the phone. Why didn't you call me? I've been pacing all night long. I never heard you ring, sitting here listening. All I hear is a heart that's missing your loving. Why didn't you call me?
Hey, this is Pirate RC, and I'm in New York City at City Winery with Shelby Lynn. How are you doing tonight, Shelby?
Good, good, good.
So you actually sold out a show here tonight, and you have another show that you added, right?
Yeah, Monday we'll play again.
How was that as far as, like, touring's been going? Were you, like, surprised to sell out, or was it something that kind of...
Yeah, I'm always surprised, but it's always a good surprise.
Yeah, no, it's nice, and this is a great venue, too.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, you're surrounded by wine, first of all.
That's good.
Yeah. But then it's mostly wood, so you get a good sound out of it, too.
Yeah.
I know, like, some people just in general, when they listen to music, they don't necessarily hear the lyrics, or and some people, like, it's something that's totally important to them. So for you, I mean, do you remember a lyric, like, when you first, you know, kind of became aware of what people were saying in songs? Do you remember one that really stuck out to you, or?
Well, I mean, the Beatles.
Yeah.
I mean, you always dug the groove, but when I got older, I really started appreciating the lyric, you know, because really you don't, I mean, fun songs are fun songs. They don't really require anything heady.
Yeah.
But as someone who loves music, I like the deep shit.
Yeah.
You know. So I remember being a kid and hearing Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain by Willie Nelson. Mm-hmm. Now I can't think of how it goes. In the twilight glow, I see her. Blue eyes crying in the rain. I mean, just to come up with that is so.
Yeah.
You know, and like, then Carole King writes, "I feel the earth move under my feet.
Yes.
I feel the sky tumbling down."
Yeah.
And it's so poetic. So.
Yeah, it is. A lot of it is kind of, you know, poetry in a way. I mean,
it is.
When you write your lyrics, does anything start out as poetry and go into song, or how do you do it?
It usually starts words. I like to write, and I really love the way words define who we are. And then, you know, if I always feel like I can cheat, if the words are really good, I can just slap an E chord on there and, you know, do some kind of melody that suits its soul, the lyrical soul. But it usually comes out as a bunch of jibbery jabbery words on paper first, and then I can kind of craft them into a sensible mess.
Yeah. Does any time kind of inspire you and inspire words to come out of you more, like when you're touring or just when you're at home or any certain time, or is it just could be any time?
I'm learning how to try to absorb more, you know, on the road, but normally I'm not a road rider, you know, when I'm sad or have something going on in my life that's a tumultuous thing, you know, it makes me want to write. I mean, I have that luxury being a writer to get out my pain.
Yeah.
You know, because the selfish part of me goes, well, maybe something good will come out of it.
Yeah, it's kind of like...
Why not use it?
Yeah, yeah, if you're going to be... Yeah. If you're in that anyway.
Well, I mean, I feel like that's why I'm here.
Mm-hmm. Just in reading and in literature and poetry, I mean, is there any time that you've maybe read a poem or read a book or a story and turned it into a song?
Somebody else's stuff?
Yeah.
No.
Like, you've never been inspired,
you know,
by a story or...
No. Well, I mean, I'm reading a book now, and then one of the lines in it was, you know, it's a book about writers.
Uh-huh.
The writer says to another writer, "They gave me $1 million to write my next novel. It's a year later, and I haven't written a page, and the money's gone." And I just think that would be the greatest opening line for a song.
Yeah, because
it's like, you're, what the fuck? It's so typical of a writer who's, you know, being one, you're just a loser, really. If you can make a living at it, you're just fucking lucky.
Yeah, you can't really buy the... you should buy the words once they're on the page, in a way.
Well, I mean, it's just like luck. And you have to listen to the gods, man. I mean, because you don't have shit to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
You need to let yourself be used if you have a talent and a... whatever mediocrity of a brain the Lord gave you in order to move through.
Yeah.
And you have to be ready.
I know for me, like, in doing certain things creatively, sometimes I'm almost afraid of it. So I maybe won't share it or I won't even want to put it down on paper. Have you ever...
The only time I've ever been afraid of sharing, and I'm going through it right now, because in my songwriting up to date, I've never been afraid of saying, well, fuck it, I'm putting that down, it happened, it's real, I don't have any problem with that. But, you know, you can disguise, as you know, you can disguise what's really going down in another form of pain. If you're writing something really real, like, say, a book or a story, and you really want to get it out there, you can't hide behind it. So I'm, at this point in my life, trying to decide if I want to write a biography, an up-to-date one.
Yeah.
Because even though I'm just 42, almost 43, it feels like I fucking lived forever. And I'm ready to write some things. I think it would make a fun read. So I'm trying to decide, well, if I do this, I want to tell everything. And fuck people if they don't like it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that'd be a...
I've never had a problem until then, but now I'm doing it.
Well, like Mark Twain's autobiography, you know.
I gotta read that.
Well, yeah, you know, they didn't, he said it couldn't be released until 100 years after his death, because everyone else would be gone, too, so he wouldn't really be offending anyone.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
So, that was just, I thought that was,
but see,
so that's
I want
so
the
him.
Motherfuckers to hear it.
Well, yeah.
I want them to be in pain.
Yeah, you can't disguise them as, like, the wind or something, you know, they're there, right, by name. As far as separating from a record label and then starting your own indie label, this is something I've talked to quite a few people about, actually. A lot of artists are doing that, especially, it seems like, singer-songwriters, and it doesn't really matter what genre. How has that been for you so far?
Well, the singer-songwriter, as you say, I mean, we're starving. And the record labels have created a place for us to be that makes you even more hungry. And we're sick of it. I mean, with the world we have today at our fingertips, we don't need record labels.
Yeah.
And when you make your living playing live like I do, you don't need it. Why should I write songs for them anymore? I write songs for those people that paid money to see me sing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what matters.
Yeah, so...
So labels suck. And they've killed themselves.
Yeah, because it just...
I put out 2 records last year on my label.
And that
could
have
never got a
happened.
Check in the mail.
Yeah. And would you say that either or both were like the first ones that were just really what you wanted on them? I mean, you didn't have anyone telling you what
you
kind
know
of
what?
Thing to write?
Or... People ask me that all the time, but I've never really had any problem doing whatever in the hell I wanted to on a label. I always thought people had me on record labels because somebody in there thought, well, I'm going to be the one to break Shelby Lynn, you know? Because I never had a record label experience where they didn't believe in me. And they weren't cool people.
Yeah.
You know, they're just as trapped as the fucking corporate Walmart.
Yeah.
It's no different.
Yeah.
It's seller product.
Yeah.
You just have to get fed up like me and say, ah, fuck it. I gotta go make a living and I ain't doing this for y'all anymore.
I mean, it's like being an entrepreneur, right? Like, I'm not doing this for the man and, you know, the proverbial man anymore. I'm gonna go do what I want to do.
Yeah, and you know, if you think about how ridiculous it is, I sit at home and I write my songs.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to tell me if that's going on my record? I'll have you killed. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a little pop star and you need somebody to help you with that, that's great. That's what labels are designed to do, and that's wonderful. But somebody like me who bleeds and dies every note they sing and write, fuck it, I'm not playing it anymore. I'm too damn old and don't need it.
Yeah. On your last album, not the Christmas one, is there like a song that you had written like long before and kind of brought it up or even do you have a or do you have any?
I always have songs lying around.
And then they'll just kind of decide, you'll decide that that's the time to bring them up. And,
that happens.
Yeah.
Not often. But I still have songs I've written 10 years ago that I don't know anything to do with yet.
Yeah.
That are good songs, but they just haven't reared their heads yet.
Yeah.
But so they're still creeping around.
Do you have a favorite one on the last record?
No. I don't have favorites. You know, it's so funny, because after I finish a record and work a record and play a record, it's kind of like, next.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to be fair and do as many as my favorite ones
yeah.
are the ones that groove me in the show. But,
yeah.
But some of them I just don't like to do.
Are there any that you're tired of?
I mean, yeah. A lot of them.
Yeah.
I mean, then you'll never hear them.
But that's what's good about having a nice body of work, right?
That you got that right.
You can fill a show with
some shit that you may never heard.
Yeah.
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 I'm dragging up some tonight that I haven't done in years.
Well, that's good.
So, just for me.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm always horrified at the idea of somebody coming to several of my shows and then hearing, she kind of did the same thing she did there. Because, I always feel like if you're going to be a great performer, you got to be a great audience.
Yeah.
And I know I'm a great audience, so.
Yeah. What kind of guitar are you playing?
This is my baby. It's a 67 Gibson B25.
Has that been your...
No, just got it.
Just got it?
But nice. I've been looking for it a long time. When I was a kid, Daddy had one just like it.
Oh, really?
So that's the guitar I learned to play on. And I just wanted to get one of my own.
So did you learn just kind of by ear and you just understood sound and...
Well, I was a singer always.
Yeah.
Since I was this big.
Yeah.
And I wanted to accompany myself, like Elvis.
Yeah.
So... Daddy knew how to play a little, and he taught me some chords, and the rest I took off on my own, and quickly played better than he did. So
one thing I want to ask you, too, is just about collaborations you've had and that you've done, and you mentioned Willie Nelson earlier. What was the greatest for you as far as just who you've gotten to play with and collaborate with? And
well, he's one.
Yeah.
Willie's magic. You can't really beat it. You know, I've worked with some great record producers. But Willie's the only guy I really sat around with and played with, I think, that I can remember. And he's magic. And that's all I know how to say about that. He's like the Yoda of rock.
So, do you have any plans for albums this year?
Yeah.
Have you been?
I'm writing now.
Cool.
And I'll have it out this year, but I haven't really started cutting it yet. So. Mm-hmm.
Where do you record? Do you record in your own studio?
I have a little space.
Oh, cool. And then... As far as mixing and everything, I mean, do you just bring in producers you like, or?
No, I just get, Al Schmidt is a legendary producer, engineer,
mm-hmm.
and he's been really kind in helping me mix. So I'll record at my place and then haul the tapes over to him, and he goes through the mess and makes it sound good.
Cool. All right, well, thanks a lot.
You got it.
Thanks for the time.
Well, have a good one.
All right, you too. Thanks.
Your loving, why didn't